challenge today, stand if you would, to read from God's Word if you're able today. The Bible reads this. It said, "In the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Yeah. You may be seated today. That's the scripture reading. The thought that God has placed on our heart is knee-deep in water and wondering, does God even care? Knee-deep in water and wondering, does God even care? And I think there comes a time in all of our lives that we've all have been in that situation. Amen, that's right. I mean, we've all been knee-deep in water and wondering, hey, God, here am I. Here's the situation. Do you even care? But can I tell you, he does today. Yes, right. By the way, there's never been a man that cared for me quite like Jesus cared for me. And there never will be a man that'll care for me quite like Jesus. Amen. But we need to settle down and preach the message today. So keep that thought on your heart and on your mind today. But first of all, we need to see, as we read the scripture in verse number 35, it said, and of the same day. So that means there were some things that happened in this day prior to them being told, let us pass to the other side. You say, preacher, what happened during that day? First of all, they started the day at the house of God. In the beginning of the chapter, the Bible said, when they went to the synagogue, there was a man with a withered hand. And my friend, and Jesus healed that man that day. It was a day at the temple. That's where they started out. Hey, by the way, every day ought to start out at the temple of God. Amen, that's right. You say, well, the church doors aren't open on Monday. Hey, I'm not talking about this temple here. I'm talking about getting with God. Amen. By the way, does he live inside of you today? If he's not living inside of you, you're not saved by the grace of God. Hey, but I'm glad the day that God saved me, Brother James, God moved in there. Hey, he took a bone. He took fellowship. He moved the devil out, and he come in. Hallelujah to that today. But it was a busy day. They spent the day in the temple. Then we see later on, it was a day of teaching. Jesus taught some parables to the people that day. You can go to Matthew chapter 13. This story here is recorded in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And you can read the parables that Jesus taught the people that day. One of the famous parables that he taught them that day was, brother, the parable of the sower. And he said to man, he said the sower went out in the seed and he cast it forth. And some fell on stony ground. Others fell amongst the thorns. Hey, but I like that next part. He said, but some fell on good ground. Hallelujah to that. Hey, I'm glad today there was no problem with the sower. And there wasn't a problem with the seed. But the problem was with the ground. Amen. I'm afraid sometimes, even as Christians, our heart is like that ground of thorns. And we're more concerned about the cares of the world than we are anything else. Sometimes our heart is like that stony heart. Hell, my friend, and it can't bring forth good fruit. Hey, but I'm glad that sometimes that heart is soft and malleable, and God's able to plow it up and pour the seed in, and that seed will bring forth fruit every time. So I wonder today, how's your heart with God today? I'm following the Lord today. It was a day at the temple. It was a day of teaching. It was also a day of testing. In Mark chapter 3 and 22, you see where Jesus was there, and this man, this dad brought his boy that was full of the devil. The Bible said that the disciples even tried to help this child, but they didn't have enough faith, my friend, to help him. And this dad brought his child to Jesus and said, "Jesus, give you healing." It was a day of testing. Day of testing. I mean, a day of teaching, a day in the temple, a day of testing. All in one day. Hey, some of you ain't been through that in your Christian walk in 15 years. Amen. I mean, if Brother Eddie, if we were to go to the temple and go through testing and go through teaching in a month's time, we'd say, "Man, I'm walking in the bullseye of the will of God." Hey, the disciples did all this in one day. And then come the day of trusting. It was the day of trusting. Jesus said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Hey, some of you today, God's asking you, "Hey, today's the day we're going to pass over to the other side." You say, "You mean to tell me I'm going to die? That's all I'm talking about." I'm not talking about that side, but I'm talking about getting closer to God today. Hey, I'm getting a closer walk with God. Hey, getting down in the waters and going with God today. I mean, you can stay on the shore, but can I remind you, the more you stay on the shore, the more you just muddy up the waters. Hey, you ever been to the lake and how that water be crystal clear? How about you get to messing up on the shoreline, and before long that crystal clear water is all muddy, it's all dirty. Hey, the longer you stay on the shore, you're dirtying the water today. So that's the disciples' day. The next thing we need to see is, first of all, there were some details to the storm. This was just not any storm that was there, but there were some details. Now, natural science says that the Sea of Galilee is famous for bad storms. It's famous. It's the way it's set up. It's where God geographically placed the Sea of Galilee. It makes it perfect for severe storms. You say, "What do you mean by that, preacher?" First of all, you got the temperature. And the temperature at the Sea of Galilee is much warmer than it is. But if surrounding this Sea of Galilee is mountain range, it's a mountain range that surrounds that. And see, hot air rises up from the Sea of Galilee, but cold air is heavier, and cold air comes down. And when they mix together, violent storms take place. I'm talking just natural speaking today. Hey, come on, church, let's help me today. But they all, but when they get together, they combine with the perfect ingredients for a bad storm. It's 680 feet, 80, and the Bible teaches, or history says that the Sea of Galilee is 680 feet below sea level. So it's below. So hot air is easy to stay down there. Cold air rushes down, and when they mix, bad things happen. Sound a lot like life? Sound a lot like your life today? I mean, everything's fine. Everything's great. But something go wrong. Hot air rises. Cold air comes down. Boom! You're stuck in the middle of the storm and wondering, does Jesus even care? We'll get to that in a minute. Hey, but that's a physical why the storms take place. But there's a spiritual aspect. Why storms take place. There's a spiritual aspect in every one of our lives why storms take place. First of all, there's divine reasoning behind some storms in our life. Can I say, not every storm is a bad storm? Amen. Not every storm is a bad storm. Sometimes God sends a storm to your life to stir you up. I mean, sometimes, hey, he even told Israel, he's like, "I'm like an eagle, a mother eagle who sitteth over a nest and fluttereth her wings." Hey, to get the baby eagles out, sometimes God's got to stir up the nest. And he does it by storms today. He stirs things up that he can bless things in our life. Hey, I mean, you don't stir the ground up. Don't expect blessings. Hey, but I'm glad through broken things, blessings come out from God. There are
are sweet things come out of dark places. You ever heard that song? God sends sweet things out of dark places. Hey, sometimes that dark place is a storm, and you're going to have to go through that. Hey, but I'm telling you, if God's the God of your boat, you'll go on with God today. Hey, I'm talking about a divine detail to the storm, or a divine source. But let me also say, this is just as much as a source of a storm can be God. The devil also does send storms. The devil sends storms to our life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2, calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. Hey, I mean, we can like to think that there's no devil. Hey, and that'd be just like the devil wants you to think, but guess what? There is today. Hey, but I'm glad, just as real as the devil is, there's a God that's more real than anything today. Devil, my friend, Satan thought, no doubt, hey, I've got Jesus hidden in on the boat. I'll kill him at sea. But what he thought is, you can't kill God. He forgot you can't kill God. I know I've said it here before, but I'll say it again. You and I did not kill Christ. The Jews did not kill Christ. The Romans did not kill Christ. Christ laid his life down for you and I. We didn't kill him. He chose to die. He died on time. Amen. Let me say this. He was born on time. He lived on time. He died on time. He got up on time. And guess what? He's coming back right on time. Hallelujah to that. Not a moment too soon and not a moment too late. I like that song. Jesus is coming soon. Of morning, night, or noon. I'm glad he's coming. He's coming today. Satan thought he had Jesus hidden and thought he could kill him. If that didn't work, at least he would affect the disciples. At least he would affect them. And he did for a little while. Hey, he did for a little while. You say, well, how bad was the storm? Matthew says, it speaks of the waves going over the boat. Mark says the waves beat the boat. Matthew says the waves covered the boat. Mark and Luke said the waves filled the boat. Luke goes as far as says, and when we were in jeopardy, bad storm, wasn't it? Now we know these disciples, if you know anything about the scripture, you know that these disciples were professional fishermen. This was not the first storm that they was in. And it surely won't be the last storm that they were in. But this time, they thought this was their day. They were done. They were dying at the sea. Sound like a bad storm to me, doesn't it? Now here's where we get to the point. Here's where we get down to the brass tacks of things. Notice the disciples' perception. Here's all that they saw. Here's what they saw immediately, what they saw when the storm came. First of all, they no doubt when the storm blew up and the waves filled the boat and they were thought they were sinking, thought they were going down. First thing they thought was, well, here I am steering the ship and Jesus is asleep. I'm the one steering the boat and he's the one that said, let us pass to the other side, and I'm the one steering the boat while he sleeps. Ever felt like that? I mean, maybe I'm the only one in the congregation today that felt like that. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever felt like, God, you wanted me to go here. You wanted me to do this. You wanted me to do that. And now you're gone. I've been there, friend. Hey, but can I rest as sure as this? If you go with God, he'll be there every time. No doubt they're trying to steer the ship to go back. Let me give you one verse. Well, let me give you help today. Once God says to go forward, you go forward. There's no going back. Amen. There's nothing to go back to.
That's right.
You say, well, I'll go back where it's calmer, where it's easier. Once you step out, there's no going back. People say, well, just try God. If it don't work out, the devil will always take you back. Hogwash. First of all, you don't try God. You take God or leave God. You don't try him. He's not a 30-day experience. He don't come in trial size. You take all of God today and get none of him. Don't ever tell somebody to try God. If it don't work out, you can always go back. That's hogwash. That'll never get anybody saved. Because you'll never come to God and get saved and say, God, here I am. I want to try you. Hey, if you're going to get saved, you're going to have to say, God, I need you. I want you. Here I am, oh Lord. That wasn't in the message, but that was free. Amen. They said, no doubt, we'll go back. Hey, one day as a Christian, once you get saved by the grace of God, you got nothing to turn back to. Go forward. Mount Zion Baptist Church, you've got nothing to go back to. Go forward with God. Hey, I know it's hard. I know it's not easy. I know it seems difficult, but we cannot go back. Go forward. Let me ask you this. Did God say go forward? Or did mom and dad say go forward? Did God say go forward? Or did your government say go forward? Hey, if God says go forward, I say let's march with God today. There's nothing to go back to. No doubt they thought they steered the ship to safety. Hey, I mean, you ever been there? I mean, the storm blows up in your life and seems like everything's going wrong and, well, you ain't brought it to God's yet because it ain't big enough yet. You think you control it.
That's right.
You think you can handle things. You think you've got it all figured out.
That's
but the problem is you try to steer the boat and you're trying to guide the boat to safety. All the while, every time you're guiding the boat to safety, you're hitting rocks along the way. And before long, you're at the spot to where your ship's busted up. You're going down, friend. And that's when we want to call on God. Amen? Hey, I mean, we'll go to 30 doctors and ask them, what's wrong with me? All the while, we've got the great physician we can come to. Amen. We'll seek every psychiatrist and psychologist to help us out. All the while, we've got wonderful counselor right here. Hey, let me save you some heartache. Go with God first today. But we try to steer our boat. We try to guide the boat the way we think it should go. Hey, once you yield your life to God, there's no guiding your boat anymore. That's God's business, not yours. Next thing I believe the disciples were saying is, well, we're in the storm. I'm trying to steer the boat. But maybe if I can just steady this thing out, we'll ride around. We'll ride out this storm if I can just steady the boat. Here it comes. Oh, yeah. Problem blows up in the church. Oh, yeah. You say the church has problems? Yes, they do. Naturally speaking. Now, you lost person that said, well, that's why I don't want to join the church, because they got problems. So is your family, but you ain't kicked out of that yet, are you?
That's right.
Amen, that's right. Hey, you ain't afraid to go around Christmas time and Thanksgiving time around the family. You know the other ones you talked about for 10 months? Hey, you talked them like they was those. You ain't gave up on them yet, have you? Oh, yeah. Hey, there ain't no naturally speaking perfect church. And I'd be safe to say this, if there was, don't you join it, you'd ruin it.
Amen.
Hey,
amen. Right.
I wouldn't join it, I'd ruin it. Amen. But problem blows up in the church, and guess what? We try to handle it ourselves. Instead of letting God handle the problem, we like to be Dr. Law. Oh, yeah. Dr. Law, you know Dr. Law, that one that tells everybody else how they're doing wrong? But they can't look at themselves to see what they've done wrong.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, amen, preacher. That struck a nerve right there. I'll park the truck and preach for a while. Hey, if it God ain't let you, don't do a thing.
Amen.
Don't do a thing. You wait on God and let God bring it to pass.
Amen.
You ever wonder why Isaiah spent in chapter number 5 in the book of Isaiah? I think 5 times he said woe to different people. He said, woe to Samaria, woe to all these countries, and woe to all these people. But Isaiah chapter number 6, something happened. Isaiah chapter number 6, he says, and when in the year of the king Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. But something happened when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Yeah, it's easy to point out other people's failures. Hard part is seeing your own. Hey, before you point your finger at somebody else, you ought to pay attention. You've got three other ones pointing back at you. Amen. If you don't know what I'm talking about, take your little finger and point it out. And guess what? You got three pointing back at you. We all just need to line up with God today. But we try to study the book. We try to be the one. Yeah, I can call this problem out. I don't need to get God involved in the church problem. I'll do it myself. Steady the boat. Guess what? You're not doing a thing but rocking the waters even more. Well, I don't think I need to inform the youth leaders of this problem. I'll handle it myself. Hey, God's given this church youth leaders to lead the youth. Hey, I don't need to involve the pastor with this problem. I'll handle it myself. Hey, God's given you other shepherds. You ought to take advantage of it. Use it. Thank God for it. By the way, if you don't want the other shepherd, God's got plenty of churches that do. Amen. That's right. Hey, and guess what? He didn't know what I was preaching this morning. I didn't tell him what I was preaching. And I didn't know I was preaching this when I got here. But that's good preaching anyways. We try to calm it. We try to get her under control. Knee deep in water, wondering, does Jesus even care? We try to steady the boat out. Then we get to the point to where, hey, we're knee deep in water, God. Now we're trying to shed the water out of the boat. We're getting her out. Now you can also look, this is a prophecy actually. You can look at the scripture three ways. There's a historical factor, there's a natural factor, and there's a spiritual factor. Yeah. And spiritually speaking, we've got a lot of water in the boat today in our church. Hey, there's no problem with the boat being in the water. But the problem is when water gets in the boat. There's no problem with the church going out to the world and compelling them to come in. But the problem is when the world gets in the church. Amen. There's a difference. But we're trying to shed the water out. We're trying to buckle, to get the buckets and get the water out. All the while, we're sinking more. We're sinking faster. We're sinking farther. And we're about to go down tonight. They were sinking. So let me ask you today, can you relate that to your church life today? How about relate that to where you're at naturally speaking today, individually today? Anybody got a storm going on? Anybody think they're going under? Anybody trying to guide the boat? All the while, Jesus is asleep. How dare he tell me to go to the other side and he's asleep? And yet we argue with God. And we yell at God. And we grumble at God. And say, God, why, oh why did you let this happen? But it does. Life is not easy. Life is not fair. And it'd be wise for us to realize that sometimes. Life's not easy and life's not fair. But it sure is great to be saved by the grace of God.
That's right.
Jesus is asleep. When he's asleep, that means he's unaware. He's unconcerned about what I'm going through. He, Sister Stella, he's got no idea how I feel. Oh, yeah. And if we're not careful, when we get to that way, bitterness sets in.
Right.
And when bitterness sets in, God's nowhere near bitterness. And what happens is when we get bitter, we get to look at God, where are you at now? God, I knew it. It's all the same. God is the same. It's the same. And you don't love me. You don't care about me. That's why some people stay home on Sunday mornings when problems come. That's why they grumble and complain all the time. Knee deep in water. And they're stuck in the spot to where they see. They think that God doesn't care. Peter said, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth much for you. Hey, Peter was one on the boat here. Peter learned some lessons. All the while, they was perceiving some things. But they forgot what they possessed. Amen. We all like to perceive things. Well, this one didn't shake my hand today. They must be mad at me. They don't like me. They don't love me. And I just don't care about them anymore. Anybody ever been like that? Hey, you can say, I ain't been there. I guess I'm preaching to myself today. Hey, but I'll tell you this. We're all guilty. Well, preacher preached on me last Sunday. I'll teach them. I'm not even going to give them my money this week. God help your puny heart. Amen. Can I tell you, God's not concerned about your billfold. He's concerned about your soul. And you're in the right spot today to get right with God. Hey. Well, they didn't give me a job to do this week. They must not think I'm available. Or I'm able. Or somebody's better than I am. Hey, maybe it's just not your turn this week. Maybe you need to sit on that thing just one more week and let God stir up a little bit more. Maybe your motive's not right. Maybe your attitude's not right. Amen. Maybe God just wants to birth something greater in your life. You ever think about that? Hey, that Syrophoenician woman, we ought to take some lessons from her. You know that woman that came to Jesus and said, Jesus, my daughter's dying at home. And the Bible tells us that Jesus answered her not a word. Oh, we bring our problems to God. God don't answer right away. We're done. Jesus didn't answer her a word. Guess what she did? She still went on to worship. The Bible said she worshiped him. Hey, he even called her a dog. And she worshiped him. Yeah. I'm talking about sometimes it ain't always hunky-dory. Sometimes it's not easy. But go with God anyways. We always are worried about what we perceive or what we see. But can I remind you, these eyes sometimes they lie. They lie. And let me say this. I know Walt Disney says follow your heart. It'll always lead you to right. Can I tell you your heart lies also? Your heart lies also. Walt Disney lied when he told you follow your heart. Because the Bible said the heart is desperately wicked and who can know it? Amen. Don't follow your heart, you follow God. Amen. Hey, God will lead you, God will guide you, God will provide for you. But the disciples, first of all, they forgot what they possessed. In fact, verse number 35, they had a promise. There was a promise right there in verse number 35 when he said, let us pass over unto the other side. Now it'd be one thing for Jesus to say, you boys go on over. I'll catch up with you later. He said, let us pass over to the other side. Now, they've already seen Jesus heal. They've already seen Jesus cast out devils. They've already seen Jesus heal their own selves when he called them and saved them. Amen. Now, if they trust him enough to leave their father's nets to go follow him, if Jesus said, hey, let us pass over to the other side, that means he's going with you. And Jesus already began to tell them about Calvary. Already began to tell them that he was the Messiah. Already began to show them that he was the Son of God. So, I mean, they had that promise. They said, hey, let us pass over to the other side. Now, if you still got your Bibles open, you ain't quit and worried about the chicken yet. Hey, let's go over to Ephesians in First Peter. First Peter. I threw some of you off when I mentioned chicken. Some of you already got that right in your mouth here a little bit. Second Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 4. This is what Peter said. Whereby are given unto the Pentecostals exceeding great and precious promises. Whereby are given unto the charismatic exceeding great and precious promises. Whereby are given unto us Baptists exceeding great and precious promises. No, he said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Hey, ain't nobody got a trademark on that but God. Amen. Whereby given unto us. Brother Noah, you know what that means? That includes you. Brother Applegate, that includes you. Sister, that includes you. Pastor's wife, that includes you. Brother Christian, that includes you. Joanna, that includes you. That includes all that are saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises. How do I know my boat's not going to sink? Because I got promises today.
Amen.
How do I know that Jesus cares? I've got promises today.
Amen.
That tells me that he does. Let us pass over to the other side. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great price. Now, I need to hurry up. They not only had promises, they had his presence. He already told them he was going with them to the other side. But they also had his presence. He got in the boat with them. Bible said there was other little ships on the sea. But after it mentions that, don't mention anything else what happened to the other ships. But it deals quite specifically with the ship that Jesus was in. And the ship the disciples were in. You see, there's a lot of ships that's out on the water, but God's only on one. And that's the old ship of Zion.
Amen.
That's the blood bought, birthed by God into the family of God and never to be exiled from the family of God. That's the boat you got to get into today.
Amen.
You say, but they got this so-and-so ministry over here and so-and-so ministry over there and so-and-so this over here and so-and-so this over there. If God's not in it, you don't need to be a part of it.
Right.
Amen. Hey, I know the eagles and the mooses and the gooses and all these things think they're great clubs, but God's not in that. God didn't come to set up the mooses and the gooses and the eagles. He come to set up the church.
Amen.
He said, upon this rock, I will establish my church. Amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Didn't say they wouldn't try. He said they won't though. That's the boat God's in today, but they had his presence. He was in the ship. Notice how you get God and how you get in the old ship of Zion and how God gets in your life. Bible said they took him as he was. That's how you're going to have to take him today. If you're going to take Jesus home with you, you're going to have to take him as he is today. He is Lord and he's the only Lord. He is God. He is the Son of God and the only begotten Son of God. Hey, he's not just one of the gods. He is God in the flesh today. Take him as he is. But also notice they had his presence. They had it. But did you ever notice, go down to verse number 38. It says that, and when he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. You ever wonder why he went to the hinder part to sleep? History states that the hinder part of the boat is where the captain's chambers were. Where the captain laid down. It's where the captain went to rest. It's where the captain stayed while I was on the boat. Seems fit for the captain of all the life, for the chief captain, the chief shepherd. When he gets on the boat, guess where he goes? He goes to the captain's chambers. He goes to the hinder part. That's good enough for me. We ought to let God pilot the boat and us just sail along with him today. They had his presence. Friend, if you're saved by the grace of God, whether you feel God in your life or not, does not mean that God is not there. We need to remind ourselves that this way is not always. Now, let me say this. I won't give a plug nickel for a salvation I couldn't feel. But let me also say this. If I don't feel him as strong today as I did yesterday, does not mean he's not there. Does not mean he is not there. Does not mean he's not there. We got a lot of people going way too much on feelings.
Amen.
I just don't feel him this way, or I don't feel him that way. Something's wrong. No. No, 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 no. Sometimes you don't feel him because God's wanting to do something greater in your life. You don't think God was taking this storm to teach them a lesson? Hey. I know the devil sent the storm. Hey, but God can take the storm the devil sent and still use it for your benefit.
Amen.
I'll get to how we know it was a devil storm here in a minute. You say, you're preaching awfully long. Hey, I'm just trying to help you today. But they had his presence. They had his peace. Had his peace. You say, well, they had his peace when he spoke peace, be still. No. His peace was present on the boat long before that. Because he was the one that was able to sleep through the storm. You ever remember as a little child, storms used to scare you? Thunderstorms, severe storms, different things, tornado watches, tornado warnings. You see that sky turn dark and gray and green. You get scared and you wonder, hey, is this the day that Dorothy's house falls on Oz and all these different things? I mean, as a child, we thought crazy things like that, didn't we? But you know what happened is after we experienced a couple and we realized everything's fine. I mean, we begin to learn we didn't have to run under mommy's arm or run under daddy's arm to feel shelter, to feel safety. We've been through a few of them ourselves. We know we'll be all right, everything will be fine. And if not, we've got a plan in place on what to do. Disciples, they've been through storms, but they forgot that they had Jesus on the boat with him. He was the peace. He had peace. I mean, Jesus already seen enough of these. Let me say this and I'll move on quickly. There will never be a storm blow up in your life that catches God off guard.
Right.
Sister Applegate, there will never be a storm that happens in your and Eddie's life that God says, huh, didn't see that one coming.
Right.
We're that way, though. It catches us off guard, but it'll never catch God off guard. God is always aware. God is omnipotent. God knows everything.
Amen.
And that ought to be enough for us to put our confidence and our trust in him today.
Yes.
Though the storms are over us, they're always under his feet. Though the clouds may be dark and though we may not be able to see God, but God can see right where we're at. God saw the sailors, even though he was on the boat asleep. God knew where they were, knew what they were going to go through. And God said, we're going to go to the other side. Now, this storm doesn't happen. Now, the storm wasn't storming when they told to go out to the sea. I believe the storm blew up. Because I believe it was storming before they ever got in the boat. They said, can we just wait another day, Lord? Can we just wait another day? Can we go when the water seemed like it might be smooth sailing? They had no idea. Some of you today's got storms in your life that you had no idea this week you were going to face. Some of you got storms coming up in your life you had no idea what you're going to face tomorrow. And some of you are at the point to where you think your boat's going down. And you're wondering, does Jesus even care? But notice what they discovered in the storm. They discovered a couple things. First of all, God rebuked the wind. Now, something that needs rebuking, it's something that's bad. Amen? That's why we know this storm was a devil-type storm, a devilish storm, because Jesus rebuked the wind. Hey, sometimes some things go on in our lives, some storms are rolling, some storms are rocking, and we wonder why God, does God even care? And we come to the house of God, and we expect to hear a kind word, a word of encouragement, and guess what God does? He sends rebuke. Right to our home, God rebukes us. Can I tell you that rebuking that come from God is not to make you bitter, but it's to make you better. Amen, that's right. Hey, sometimes God's got to prune the vine that you can bear more fruit. Hey, just go with God today. Amen. Don't get mad if there comes a rebuking from the Word of God. Be thankful God's concerned about you. God cares about you. Hey, if you get your hair trimmed up when you come to the house of God, bless God for it. Amen. God cares for you. If he didn't care, he let you grow wild. Hey. Anybody here not want to bear more fruit for God? Hey, I want to bear some more fruit. But to bear more fruit, sometimes God's got to rebuke some things in my life. But he rebuked the storm. He also rebuked the storm, but he spoke peace. And he said to the sea, he said, be still. Two different things, two different actions that he did. He had to rebuke the wind, and then he calmed the sea. Amen. I like that song that goes, sometimes he calms the storm, other times he just calms me. Sometimes Brother Josh Scott's got to calm the storm in your life. Other times he lets the storms rage on. But he just speaks sweet peace to you. He just calms your heart. And you can rest like a baby in him. Hey, whatever he does, it's all right by me. Shows me he cares today. But here's what they learned today. They discovered some things. Whenever there's a storm in your life, a storm will do things. First of all, it'll unbury hidden treasures in your life. There was a hurricane that went up the East Coast back in a couple years ago. It hit New Jersey straight on. And it flattened the shoreline there. It done millions and millions of dollars of destruction. And they said, man, look at all this destruction going around. Look at all this tragedy, this devastation that's here. But not long after the storm departed, there were some things that began to surface on that water. There were some hidden treasures that was buried in that sea, buried in that Atlantic Ocean that they had no idea was there. Then treasures come up and they found some things they never even knew existed. Why? Because that storm, it moved some things, it stirred some things up, it brought some things to the surface. Sometimes God sends a storm in your life to bring some things to the surface tonight. To bring some things that you had no idea was down on the inside. Hey, I mean, some things that you had no idea how good God was. But now you realize it because the storms that God has sent to your life. He's brought it up. They said, notice what they said. They said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They knew he was the God. They knew he was the Son of God. And they never in their mind fathomed that even the winds and the sea obeyed him. They said, what manner of man is this? I like those kind when I get in situations with God and I've got no idea how he's going to bring it to pass and have no idea how he's going to get me out of this. And I got to sit back and let God work. And I stand in awe and say, what manner of man is this that's able to do this? I knew him as God. I knew him as Savior. But can I say this? I know him a whole lot better now than I did the day he saved me. Let me give a verse of scripture. I'm going to come to a close here real fast. Notice in the book of Philippians, if you got your Bible still open, turn with me to Philippians chapter number 3. We sing that song. I don't know if it's in your church hymnal or not, but it says, I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my precious Lord. And we all say, I want to know you better, God. God, I want to know you better. I want to know you how my pastor knows you. I want to know you how my preacher knows you. I want to know you how my deacon knows you. Well, let me give you some advice on how you can know him like they know him right here. Notice what Paul said. He said, let's go up in verse number 5. He said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as teaching of the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Sometimes to know God better and to know the power of his resurrection, we've got to suffer. We've got to go through suffering. There's Garden of Gethsemane in all of our lives. In the Garden of Gethsemane is where Jesus prayed, and the Bible said he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. Sometimes we got to go to Gethsemane ourselves and pray and weep and beg and ask God why. And beg God and ask God for his presence, but all the while realizing our boat's not going to sink. Yeah. We all have to suffer. If you're not willing to suffer, you're not willing to know God better. But if you're willing to go through suffering, you're willing to say, God, here I am, whatever you need to do, here I am, you do what you got to do with my life, I'm just going to trust it in you, I'm going to go with you and know that you'll be all right. You'll take care of me. Hey, can I remind you, if whatever you're going through kills you, you just get a faster way out of here, friend. Amen. Hey, if cancer was to strike this body tomorrow, and I die a week later, yes, that week would be hard. But hey, I just get home. I'm beating you home. Hey, I get to go home first. Hey, it's hard. We got to go through suffering. Whether God chooses to take us out or to leave us in, either way, we can know him, but rest assured, your boat will not sink. There was a song that was sung back in the late 1990s and early 2000s. I've not heard it sung in quite some years. A popular song in a lot of our churches we fellowship with said, your boat will not sink when the master is on board. If the master's on board of your boat, you're not going down, friend. You can't go down. But some of you today, you're sitting there and you're wondering, God, my boat is half full. I'm knee deep in water. And do you even care? Jesus cares. Old church hymnal song says, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the daylight fades and the deep night shades, it goes on, but it goes on, and the chorus says, oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. God cares today. Though no one else may say, act like they do not care about what's going on in your life, can I ask you to come and pray and leave it with God today? God cares. If he didn't care, he wouldn't send a message to touch your heart today. Friend, if you're lost without God, don't know God, and want to be saved today, and you feel like maybe you're at the point to where you're at the spot to where you just say, I'm done. Life's too hard. No one cares about me. My family's forgotten about me. My friends have left me. I'm all alone. And no one cares. Can I tell you today, Jesus cares. You say, how much does he care? He gave his life for you.
Yes.
He paid a price he didn't know. And you owe a price that you can't pay. But he done it just for you today.